I'm rooting for everybody black. So said Issa Rae on the red carpet at the 2017 Emmy Awards, capturing the electricity of a moment when everybody black referred to quite a large group of ascendant voices. Not only those up for awards that night, and not only those in Hollywood, but artists across the cultural landscape. While there has never been a shortage of black artists making great work, the past six or so years have seen these creators claiming the spotlight as never before. Hey everybody, and welcome back to another episode of How I Feel. You could have been anywhere else in the world tonight, but you're here with me, and I appreciate you. Thank you so much for your patience. I know it's been a couple of weeks since I have released a new episode, but I'm here. And I want to first take a moment to definitely send my thoughts and my prayers out to the victims' families, and everyone who has weathered this horrible winter storm in Texas. Of course, we all know the worst part of any natural disaster, any storm, is the aftermath. So definitely make sure you stay safe. Make sure to reach out to people that are giving help, and just do the best you can. And I definitely pray that you will be able to reach a sense of normalcy soon. I'm actually reading today from an article from Time Magazine, printed February 15th, 2021. The essay is by Ibram X. Kendi. In this first Black History Month after the racial reckoning of 2020, I feel impelled to do what historians rarely do: mark history while the story is still being written. We are living in a time when the white gaze remains ever present in American life, but is hardly dominant among today's assemblage of courageous black creators. We are living in the time of a new renaissance, what we are calling the Black Renaissance, the third great cultural revival of Black Americans after the Harlem Renaissance of the 1920s, after the Black Arts Movement of the 1960s and 1970s. Black creators today were nurtured by these past cultural revivals, and all those brilliant creators who sustained Black arts during the 1980s and 1990s. But if the Harlem Renaissance stirred Black people to see themselves, if the Black Arts Movement stirred Black people to love themselves, then the Black Renaissance is stirring Black people to be themselves. Totally, unapologetically, freely. A renaissance does not emerge on its own. Structures must be built to allow creativity to truly flourish. During the past six or so years, Black artists formed mechanisms to lift up their own work and that of their peers. Lena Waithe created a mentorship program, and Ava DuVernay, a film distribution and resource collective. Leaders in the publishing industry, like Tracy Sherrod and my own editor, Chris Jackson, are running their own imprints and delivering the mighty literature of Ta-Nehisi Coates and the late great Cicely Tyson. Numerous creators are following in Oprah's and Spike Lee's footsteps and building their own entertainment and production companies, signing and managing and inspiring young superstars like Chloe and Halle, And all of this has coincided with a moment when white executives, out of shame or guilt, goodwill, or good money sense, began to seek out our stories and storytellers in greater numbers. At the height of the Harlem Renaissance in 1926, Langston Hughes expressed a similar sentiment to the one inspiring creators today. We now intend to express our individual dark-skinned selves without fear or shame. We know we are beautiful and ugly too. In this new Black Renaissance, we are once again shedding what and who do not serve us. Our plays, portraits, films, shows, books, music, essays, podcasts, and art are growing in popularity, are emancipating the American consciousness, and banging on the door of the classical canon. The audience for our work is Black people, or people of all races. Black people are appreciating what J. Cole and Janelle Monáe and John Legend and Jason Reynolds are creating because they see their complex selves. Non-Black people are appreciating the podcast, Code Switch, and The Nod, the poetry of Amanda Gorman and Jericho Brown, the novels of Colson Whitehead, the illustrations of Kadir Nelson and Vashti Harrison, and the television shows Watchmen and Lovecraft Country, because they do not see themselves at the same time that they see themselves in our common humanity. Black creators have inspired Native, Asian, White, Latina, and Middle Eastern creators, just as they inspired us. Black creators in the U.S. have inspired Black creators abroad, just as those creators abroad have inspired us. Around the world, we are becoming. When I was younger, I often saw myself and other Black people through the eyes of white people. I worried about what white people thought about me, how I was appearing, speaking, acting, being in their world. When I looked in the mirror sometimes, I did not see myself for myself. I saw what the white gaze saw and felt inadequate or proud, and changed myself or rebelled, and apologized for conforming or rebelling, thus apologizing for being Black. I was not alone. Now, this last paragraph definitely is personal to me because I definitely saw myself through the white gaze as a child and even into my adulthood. I was always insecure about myself, about my bold features, my big lips, my high cheekbones, my big forehead, nappy hair, my hips, my voice. I always felt like I had to hide it because I was picked on as a child. I was called tar baby. I was called smut. I was called ugly, Black. Any name you could think of, I was called that. You know what the present day parents and teachers say bullying is? Well, we didn't call it bullying back then, but that's what it would be called in present day. So every time I looked in the mirror, I didn't see me. I wanted to see a white version of me because that is what was portrayed as being right. That is what was portrayed as being okay to be accepted if you were like a white person. So I tried to act white. I tried to speak white. I tried to walk white. I tried to wear my hair white. Everything was around the white gaze. And it made me so insecure about being myself. I never felt like I fit in anywhere. I was so awkward in every situation because even when I wanted to laugh out loud, when I wanted to just speak up, I always felt the stares. Like, why are you being so black? Why are you being so ghetto? Why are you being so country? All these different terms that were used, basically as a negative connotation, that I was out of turn in every situation. So that definitely speaks to me, because I am just now at this age of close to 40 years old realizing that it's okay to be me. And again, I recommend to all my listeners, please read this article. This article has so many other subtitles in it that speaks about our pride, our exhilarance, our creativity, how innovative we are. Talks about poets, writers, actors, actresses, people in the tech world. It talks about painters, people that write essays, podcasters like myself. It talks about everybody because we are so dope. I was exhilarated when I read this article. I had to read it 3 or 4 times. I'm not going to lie to you, because it made me feel proud to be black, unapologetically black, because I am a creator. And even me taking the time to do this podcast, to speak to you, is huge for me, because I always was afraid of my voice. I say this a lot when I do my shows on the new stereo app. I thought I sounded like a man because my voice is raspy, it's heavy, and I never liked the way I sounded on a recording. When I would record my voice and I would play it back, I always delete it. I didn't want to hear it because it didn't sound good to my ears, because I wasn't sounding white enough. So now I speak all the time, and it makes me feel so much better that I can be a part of this black renaissance, because everything that I do, everything that I am, everything that I give is me. Just freely me. I don't have to cover it up anymore like I did when I was a child. This is a moment that anybody that has any dream, anybody that has any product, if you want to be an entrepreneur, if you want to be a writer, if you want to be a dancer, if you want to be a salesman, it doesn't matter. You can do it. You have all the apps. You have all of the material. You have everything in front of you to do it. Take advantage of it and ride it out, because we are in a great time right now. We are in a place where people are loving what we are doing. They love it. As an article said, we're reaching Native Americans, Asians, everybody, Latinas. It does not matter. We are doing what we were meant to do. We grace this earth, and we are part of this earth, and we're giving you all of us. I definitely want to thank you again for taking the time to listen to me today. I enjoyed speaking to you. I definitely want you to read this article again. I sourced it from Time Magazine, dated February 15th, 2021. If you have any questions, if you have any comments, any feedback, please feel free to leave your comments on any of the platforms that you may listen to me on: Apple, Spotify, Anchor. Leave me a voice message. I look forward to them. I definitely want to hear what you have to say. I want to hear what you think. I want to hear if you have any questions about any of the articles or any of the podcasts or episodes that I have posted so far. Second thing is, I just want you to share this podcast. Share it with your friends, your family, coworkers, anyone that you know can benefit from it. And if you are not already a part of the family, definitely, if you like what you hear, subscribe to my podcast. I definitely appreciate that. And until next time, I want to let you know that I appreciate every one of you for listening to How I Feel. Thank you.